Sun newspaper, 50 years since it became possibly one of the world's most infamous papers, certainly one of the most popular as well. And to talk about it, we have journalist Jonathan DeBurka Butler on the line to talk us through a history of the Sun in, I don't know how many minutes, depends how long it takes. Good morning, Jonathan.
Ryan, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, very good. Good to talk to you. When is the actual birthday for the Sun? Is it today?
It's today the 15th?
Today is the 15th of September.
Yes, it's today. Yeah, 15th of September 1964. It was published for the first time. And it's been causing waves ever since, really. It was editor Sidney Jacobson said that he wanted it to be totally independent and have no ties with any party or movement when it started out. Now, as we know, that has changed quite a lot over the years. But, and particularly when Rupert Murdoch, of course, came in. And that was in 1969 that he took over at Fleet Street there. And he kind of made it the paper that it is now in many ways.
Because it started as a broadsheet, didn't it?
It did, actually. Yeah, it started as a broadsheet. And interestingly, he had been sort of buying up lots of different papers down in Australia and in New Zealand. His father was actually in the paper business, as most people know. He decided that really the tabloid was the better way to go. And he also introduced the first Page Three girls in November of 1970, is when that particular thing happened. And that is meant to be one of the reasons why the circulation shot up. He certainly thought it would work, and seems to have done the trick to some extent.
Now, obviously, it was always the kind of the Sun versus the Mirror, wasn't it, for the love of the British newspaper buying public. So they were trying to outdo each other, obviously, all the time in terms of big stories, big headlines. And I suppose the one of the big ones that people will recall is the Gotcha headline from 82. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was only, at that stage, I was only about 6 years old, and I had these vague memories of something going on in some far-off land that looked a little bit like Connemara. And I vaguely remember, you know, Margaret Thatcher going around in a tank in her headscarf, and it was a very sort of grim time in Britain altogether. You probably remember that yourself, you know, with the miner strikes and all sorts of things. But one of the things that stood out was certainly the Gotcha headline, which caused a lot of controversy. That was the 4th of May, 1982. And it was, of course, when Britain was fighting against the Argentine junta there in the Falklands. And the Belgrano was sunk. And this headline splashed across the front with a picture of the Belgrano saying, "Gotcha." Now, what they didn't realize was the extent of the casualties. There was about 320 people that were killed as a result of the torpedo attack. So it was seen as being a little bit tasteless at the time, and they were very much criticized. But, you know, the Sun very much supported that war, and they were very much behind Margaret Thatcher during the whole thing. I believe they even sponsored a missile, and they took a picture of that missile. And the headline over it read, "Stick that up your junta," was what they said. So they were, you know, they were very much in behind, the army in that case. And they were very critical of other newspapers, and indeed the BBC, who would report anything against, the British military advances there.
But that all suggests that they were on the right of the political spectrum. They did kind of support Margaret Thatcher throughout the 80s, and that was there. And with that comes the influence of public opinion, which is every political operator's dream, is to have some sort of sway there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems to have been very much a long-term plan. I mean, most people will remember the miner strikes that were going on between sort of 84 and 85 when Thatcher was trying to throw down or was trying to shut down the pits of the length and breadth of the country. And they ran a headline one year in 1984 saying "Mine Fuhrer," which showed a photograph of Arthur Scargill, who's the trade union leader, very famous trade union leader, great public speaker. The printers actually in the Sun refused to actually print the headline, and Murdoch was obviously fuming with them. But that's the amount of power that they had around about that time. But of course, it's more than likely that Murdoch might have cut a deal with Thatcher to do something about unionization, because a couple of years later there was the whole thing with Wapping, where he effectively fired all his print workers, about 6,000 of them, and he moved the print factory away from Fleet Street and down to Wapping, and effectively wiped out the unionisation within journalism. It was quite something. But yeah, I mean, as you said, I mean, everybody tried to court them, and they had a major problem with Neil Kinnock. Mm. I remember even going in the morning. I was being dropped down to school, and I expected to wake up that morning and hear on Morning Ireland that Neil Kinnock was the new Prime Minister. Yeah. And of course, he lost. And you remember that the headline the day before the election was, "If Kinnock wins today, will the last person to leave Britain please turn out the lights?"
Yeah.
And 3 days later, the Sun declared that they had won the election for the Conservatives. It was huge. And I interviewed, actually, Alistair Campbell a few years ago when he was over in Dublin promoting his diaries. And I remember that, himself and Blair absolutely courted Murdoch. And eventually, when Blair came to power, it was, the Sun, again, was very influential, as you said, Ryan, was very influential in promoting and supporting them. And Campbell himself, I remember saying to me, saw it as being the turning point in the election. Once they had the Sun, they knew they had won it,
Let's talk a little bit about this celebrity bashing. I mean, the Sun was a scourge for a lot of famous people. Most memorable, I mean, Freddie Starr's hamster comes to mind. Was the actual headline "Freddie Starr ate my hamster"?
Yeah, Freddie Starr ate my hamster. Yeah, this was this was somebody who was a bit annoyed with him because he was overstaying his welcome. Leah LaSalle. He was staying in her house, and she had a friend who was working for the Sun in Manchester, and she decided to set this story up that Freddie Starr came home from a show one night. They found nothing to eat and took a hamster and put it in between two pieces of bread and indulged. Now Freddie Starr actually didn't take them to court because it kind of his career took off again as a result of the publicity, but plenty of others did. Do you remember the whole thing around Elton John?
No, remind us about that.
Yeah, the Elton John, I mean, they came out in 1987, and they started in February of 1987. They came out with basically a campaign against him, and part of it was that they said he was having sexual relationships with rent boys.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier on about the rivalry between themselves and the Daily Mirror. Yeah, the Daily Mirror basically made it their business to find out if this story was true or not, and
yeah.
They actually found out that, of course, Elton John was out of the country when that alleged relationship, shall we say, happened. And they also said that the Rottweilers that Elton John turned out not to have, they were Alsatians, had their voice boxes surgically removed because Elton John didn't like them barking. So they came up with these ridiculous stories, and eventually they had to pay him £1 million pounds in sterling, which of course was at the time was a huge, a vast amount of money. But, I mean, they've done some terrible things over the years. There was a whole campaign against AIDS, as you probably remember, and Hillsborough was particularly shocking.
Yeah, I think we should talk about Hillsborough because that lost the Sun the respect of a lot of people, particularly obviously in Liverpool, where the paper is demonised and really I don't think you're meant to be seen carrying a copy of it by what I understand. Such was the level of anger to the paper with the headlines about the truth. So talk us a bit through that, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, most of these stories happen around the time of Kelvin McKenzie, who people who watch Question Time, this guy still turns up on media all the time. And he was the editor there from 1981 to 1994. And he really went with this. Now, he claims that he was given information by the police at the time where that they said that fans picked pockets of victims and that they urinated on police and that they beat up a policeman who was giving a kiss of life to someone who was dying. Now, he stood by it for years, but, I mean, it caused outrage in Liverpool. And I think the circulation there went down something like from 60,000 to around 10,000. And, some people still refuse to sell it in news agencies there. And I think even when Wayne Rooney did an interview, his life story, and he sold it to the Sun, he was booed by the fans for doing so. So, really, it was quite disgusting, some of the campaigns that they came up with over the years.
Yeah, I mean, that was 1989, and still the memory is strong for a lot of people. But it's 50 years old this very day, the Sun. It can be a divisive paper in that regard, but nevertheless, it's one that attracts a lot of attention, and hence the reason we're talking about it this morning. Jonathan, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Great, Ryan. Thanks
Take it
very
easy.
Much.
All the best. That's,
have a good day.
And
bye-bye.
You too. Thank you, Jonathan de Burke Buckler on the Sun newspaper, 50 years old, this very day.